This story is about Betty Fox. I shall never forget the first time I saw her, a cute little girl, if I ever saw one, about 5'2", with brown eyes, long dark lashes. I could easily understand why they called her Betty Boop. Anybody remember Betty Boop? She worked in a restaurant in Rochester, Pennsylvania. It's hard for me to believe that this girl wasn't a girl at all, but the mother of a grown son. Wow. It would doubtless be even harder for those not familiar with the power of God to believe that not long before, this radiantly healthy woman had been in the last stages of MS. Betty Fox had been sick for years with this merciless disease, for which there was no known medical cure, a disease which, in spite of treatment and sometimes falsely encouraging temporary remissions, there's a relentless course of crippling until the patient finally becomes helpless. Betty had reached this point by the spring of 1950. She hadn't been out of her fourth floor walk-up apartment for months, I can imagine. Can you? Her husband carried her to the doctor. They would have had to carry her down four flights of stairs. She was unable to walk at all. When her husband was home, he took care of her, carried her around like a baby. When he wasn't there, she crawled on the floor to wherever she had to go. But even this method, she couldn't get very far. Her arms wouldn't work, so she had to crawl without using her arms. Of course, some days were better than others. A characteristic of the disease was on her, quote, good days, she got along slightly better, which is to say in those days she was able to maneuver, feeling tortured, from chair leg to chair leg, and so then she could get a little bit farther distance. Her legs were ice cold and numb, so were her arms all the way up to her elbows. Her hands were useless. They couldn't pick anything up or grasp anything. For a long time she had to be fed, a task which kindly neighbors took turns about midday when her husband was at work. When they tried to feed me, recalls Betty, I'd often shake so bad that they couldn't get the spoon to my mouth. Her prognosis was poor. In addition to MS, she had a bad heart problem. The doctor told her husband and her son that it could not indefinitely survive the punishment it was taking from the constant tremors induced by her disease. It was one day in April that her son, who worked at Kroger's Market, said, "Mother, why don't you go to those meetings where Catherine Kuhlman's preaching? When I pass by Carnegie Hall on the way to work, I see people walking out to the ambulances in which they were brought into. I've seen people walking carrying their crutches. Why don't you go and see what happens?" Betty replied, "Well, honey, I'm just too far gone. The doctors all say there's absolutely nothing that can be done. Listen, Mom, I've seen them go in on stretchers, and I've seen them walk out. If this can happen to others, it can happen to you." The boy kept urging his mother until last she agreed to at least listen to the daily broadcast. But this was easier said than done, for she was totally unable to grasp the knob to turn the radio on. Every day before leaving for work, her husband would seat her on either side of the Davenport or in a comfortable chair with a radio beside her. But there she was forced to remain helpless until someone would come along and assist her. It was Friday morning, early May. A friend stopped by for a few minutes before the broadcast was due to begin. Betty said, "I wrote in a prayer request for you." Oh, the lady said that. "And I want you to listen to it today." She turned on the radio for Betty, and they sat together on the sofa listening, but Betty's name was not mentioned on the air. The next day, Saturday, when there was no broadcast, another friend happened by to see her. They were sitting in the living room talking when suddenly it happened. "I thought it was just another of the regular shaking spells," relates Betty. "And then I began to shake so hard, I knew that this was something entirely different. My friend was so badly frightened that she went home. She told me later that she thought I was dying. I was scared, and I began to crawl through the hall where I met my sister-in-law who was coming to visit me, and she took me into the living room. I was sitting there shaking so hard by now, I thought I'd fall apart. But this shaking was different. My sister-in-law thought maybe a cigarette would help me, so she lit one and handed it to me, but I couldn't smoke it. Then suddenly and instantly, as if someone had turned off an electric switch, I stopped shaking." Betty's little 3-year-old nephew was in the room. He said, "What happened, Aunt Betty? All of a sudden you stopped shaking." As he asked the question, she knew the answer. "I think God healed me," she replied. At that moment, Betty received her healing. From that moment on, she was never again to suffer that palsy-like shaking. Her arms had instantaneously lost their numbness, as had her legs. She immediately regained the full use of her hands. With no effort whatsoever, she leaned over, turned off the radio, picked up a book that she had accidentally knocked to the floor. In one respect alone, her healing was not instantaneous. She said, "I had to learn to walk all over again. Like a child, I had to learn to go up and down steps, but this took only a little while." Betty was so excited at what had happened that she called in everyone in the apartment house to see. When a few days she was walking everywhere, the people in her apartment, who had never seen her walk, watched her speechless. The local doctor who had examined her just 4 weeks prior to healing was aghast when she walked into his office late one afternoon. Her coordination perfect, apparently able to do anything and everything with her body. For she announced to him that that day she'd cleaned her house, washed and ironed, spent 2 hours working out in the yard. He thoroughly examined her, couldn't find any trace of the MS or the heart condition. And then, Betty reports, he made me walk back and forth on the main street of Rochester in front of his office. He watched me with such a funny expression on his face. Then he said, "You sure are lucky. You should be so thankful. If you'd lived at all, I should never have expected to see you out of a wheelchair. None of us had anything to do with this one. It must have been God." Betty knew this full well, and with deep gratitude to God, she accepted Jesus as her Savior, giving him her heart and her life to use in his service. She hadn't been inside a church since she could remember. She had smoked heavy for 22 years. Immediately after her healing, she completely changed her way of life. One of the first things she did was to give up smoking. She said, "Nobody knows until you haven't had the use of your body for a long time what it's like to feel normal and healthy again. And when you know it's God himself who healed you, you just can't praise him enough or do enough for him." Nearly everyone in Rochester knows Betty, as she worked so long there in a popular restaurant, where she recalls, somewhat to her embarrassment, how most of the regular patrons called her Betty Boop. Through her witness, many of these same people now have been brought to Christ. Before her healing, Betty and her husband had not attended any church. Now they began to go every Sunday to the First Methodist Church in Rochester. Knowing well the power of prayer, they're delighted to find that the minister of that church prayed regularly for the sick, kneeling himself at the altar, inviting any members of the congregation who wished to go to the altar and pray in silence for spiritual and physical healing. After the Foxes had been attending the church for some weeks, the minister came to see him, asked him about joining the church. Betty said, "My husband testifies as enthusiastically as I do about my healing, and he could hardly wait to tell Reverend Stump all about it." Reverend Stump, a firm believer in faith healing, was greatly interested. The following Sunday, he inserted a questionnaire in the church bulletin, which was passed out at the service, with a request that it be marked and placed in the collection plate. In the questionnaire, the pastor reiterated his personal faith in prayer and divine healing, emphasizing that the way in which his church prayed for the sick was only one means of attempting to carry out the command of Jesus to preach, to teach, and to heal. And he asked the congregation to express their views concerning A, the method of prayer being used, and B, whether they wished such prayers to be continued as part of their church service. The majority of the congregation, overwhelmingly 400, voted to continue praying for the sick. Betty had had wonderful parents. She received a good Christian upbringing in her youth, but she wandered far away from their influence. She always knew in her heart that God could heal. She knew this when her son first mentioned the services at Carnegie Auditorium. "But I didn't think he'd heal me because I didn't think I was good enough, and I knew I hadn't lived right. But I was wrong. God in his mercy did heal me." Had Betty known more about God before she was healed, she would never have made the initial mistake of thinking that he'd refused to heal her because she was not good enough. Have you ever wondered what God is really like? The only perfect revelation God ever made of himself, he made in Jesus Christ. And if you look at him through Jesus Christ, you'll know what kind of God he is really like. For Jesus said, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." Do you hear him speak to blind Bartimaeus, the beggar? The crowd took no notice of that beggar till he began to cry, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The disciples said, shut up. But Jesus said, Bartimaeus, receive your sight. And that's God. Let's see. I'm just dropping down through here. In that moment, God honored the simple faith, the simple confidence of Betty Fox, who dared to stretch forth a helpless hand to touch the one who has all power in heaven and earth. Her faith met God. Something happened. Something always happens when simple faith meets God. When the power of God went through the body of Betty Fox, she was so lacking in spiritual knowledge that she didn't have the slightest idea that it was the supernatural power of God flowing through her body. She had never attended a service. She had never seen anyone healed by the power of God. She had never in her life witnessed a miracle, nor had she ever seen me. She had seen him, and that was enough. Several weeks ago, exactly 10 years and 7 months after her healing, she returned to one of her former doctors. He found her in perfect health, no sign of MS. It was as if he were thinking out loud when he said to her, no mere remission of MS ever lasted this long. There's no indication whatsoever that you ever suffered from the disease. The good Lord has taken care of you when we could not. Praise God. Bless God. Hallelujah. I was up, my friend Johnny's, his wife had that, just shaking so bad that, you know, just all the time she couldn't even cook or clean or anything anymore, and was up hunting with one of my dad's friends who was an atheist, and so I'd prayed for her before, but I ran into my dad's friend in the woods, and he said, hey, Johnny wants you to go over to his house at the end of the day after hunting and do that hands thing. That hands thing you do. I said, okay, I'll go over there. And so at the end of the day after hunting, it was a deer hunting weekend, and Levi was with me and went along. And so we went to where she was, and she was just like shaking really bad. And I said, okay, now I'm going to kneel down beside you, and I want Levi to get on the other side. So Levi knelt down on the other side, and we're both sitting on her. I said, now when we lay hands on you, the power of God is going to go into you. So both Levi and I laid hands on her, and instantly the shaking stopped on the spot, just poof, instantly, just that quick. And on the inside of me, I was thrilled, not just for her, but Levi got to see this severe shaking and touch someone and see it just not be there anymore, just instantly gone. So bless God for that. That was a do that hand things. I want you to go over and do that hands thing. You know, praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
God is good, isn't he? God is good. Whole reason of, sorry, OCD kicks in. I can't stand looking at that anymore. God is so faithful and so alive, so real. And that's why we're reading this book of miracles from Catherine Kuhlman, is just keep that in the forefront. Help you to know, grasp hold of the truth, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he does not change. People change, situations change, but he never changes. So keep our eyes on him. Amen. Keep our eyes on his word, because he watches over his word to perform it. Amen. He honors faith. He's looking to and fro. In the end days, he says, is he going to find anyone? How about you? Is he going to find you faithful? Is he going to see you? Amen. I don't know. I want to be one of them he finds. Because he's looking to show himself strong on our behalf. He's looking for faith. Amen. Yay, God. Amen. So if you're freezing, grab a blanket. If it's too cold, we'll turn it down or up or whatever you do. Yeah. So last week we started talking about oppression, and that Jesus in Acts 10:38, it tells us that he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Hallelujah. Anybody seen demonic oppression in your life? It's not good, is it? Oppression, it's really a word that means to press down under. It's to keep you down, to keep you from rising up, to keep you from taking your place. It's pressure that's put upon you. And it can be put upon you spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially. What is meant to do is to bind you up so that you can't function in the place that God has called you to function. But the Word of God declares that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So if there's an oppressive force, if there's something coming against you, amen, there's something that's keeping you from walking in the fullness that all that God has given you to do. All those, in well, what has God given me to do? Well, what's in your heart? He delights in giving you the desires of your heart. He puts things in our heart. He puts skills and talents, abilities. He puts vision on the inside of us. And those are the things that God has called you to do. Sometimes we want a billboard. There it is. That's what I'm called to do. We want it displayed before the world in some miraculous way, like the airplane that has the little banner that follows. This is what you're called to do. Well, it's stirring in your heart what you're called to do. Things stir on the inside of you, and that's the direction you go. You just take one step. He'll lead you. He'll make it plain. He'll begin to reveal things. If there's a place you're to go, that's going to just be stirring in your heart. Every now and then it'll come, there it is again. There it is again. I had a friend who had a heart to go to Tulsa to go to Bible school. She looked at every truck, every license plate that went by that said Oklahoma. Oh, there's God confirming it again. Her heart was so stirred in that direction. It didn't take anything but a little tiny thing for God to confirm. Why? Because her heart was already there. He put it in her heart. He delights in giving us the desires of our heart. But if you're following God, guess what? Those desires are put there by whom? Yeah, this is a no-brainer here. He puts them there. He stirs us up. We follow him out. God, do you want me to do this? And we sit there in a corner and cry because we're trying to figure out, oh, can I do this? Oh, I want to do this. God, I want to do this so bad. Well, if he's put it in there, he is bound to bring it out. He's bound to put you in place because he's a just God. He's not unjust. He is faithful. Everything about his character and nature is amazing. He's not twisted. He's not warped in any way. If he says, do this, then he's going to give you everything there is that you need to do it. Every bit of wisdom, every bit of grace, every bit of finance, every bit of help. It's going to happen. Let me keep your mouth shut. What do I mean by that? Well, I just don't think I can do that. I don't know if I'll ever be able to. I don't, you know, I just never have money to do. Don't say that. Amen. Put your mouth in agreement with the word of who your God is. Is he your provider? According to the New Testament, it says that he's given us everything pertaining to life, how you live your life, what you need for life, and godliness, how to live. in a place that's above reproach, in a place that's full of blessing and grace. He's given it unto us. So he is our provider. He's made provision, pro, before, vision, to see. He sees ahead of time and makes it for us. So long before you even thought of it, long before it was stirring in your heart, provision was made. Those things that Pastor Gary and I have in our heart about this church. You look at the natural, you don't see it. But he put it in our heart. So what do? We trust him in that to bring it to fruition. He is bound. He's the one who put it there. He's bound to bring it forth. Why? Because we're beating our head against the wall. It's got to happen. No, because he's God. And he said so. And that's enough. If we can take him at his word, if you can grab hold of this as though this is the truth that your whole life rests on, whatever you're up against, you find his word in it, you're going to be successful in every area. If you hold his word above your circumstance, above your situation. Pastor Gary is talking about truth and facts, how they have to come into line. God's word is 100% true. He is the truth. Amen? He's such a faithful God. But the thief, that's where we left off. We were talking about the thief, how he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But, I love that word. You like that word? It means it doesn't have to stay. Right? Anybody had the thief steal from their life? Stinks when he does. It stinks. God brings blessing into our life, and the thief comes not but to steal. Ultimately, he's after your confidence and your faith in God. Nipping away, peeling away little things at your life to where the point that if you don't recognize that you have authority over the enemy and that you have power to put him in his place and all these things get stolen away from you, you're left there thinking, well, God, why didn't you do something? Mad at God and frustrated with life. God did do something. Paid a tremendous price. And he said, now go in my name. Right? Let's look at, where am I? Well, I just want to, we'll get there in a second. Because I was thinking about, I made mention of something, and we didn't go into it too much last week, but I thought about an early warning system. Aren't you glad we have those now with tornadoes? You don't have to wait till they're in your backyard before you run in the basement, right? You get these warnings and where they're coming, and you can run into a safe place. You can go there ahead of time, right? You live in those places that have them all the time. You have provision down there. You have water and blankets and radio and all that kind of stuff. Snacks, you know. And you go there. And because it's a safe place. Why? Because you knew ahead. You had the early warning system. Hurricanes. Something's coming. You know it's coming. You know it's not good. What do? You board up your windows. You get your water. You make sure you got flashlights and battery and whatever else you need in those situations. You set yourself ahead so that if that thing hits, you're in good standing, right? That's what an early warning system is all about. A lot of places have cameras on their buildings, and they'll scan, and they can tell when someone's on the premise. They can tell if there's a thief trying to break in. And the camera will catch it, and the alarms go off. There's an early warning system. We have an early warning system. First off, the word says the thief comes. Why do we get so upset if the thief comes? We've been warned. We've been told, right? We've had warning, right? So when he comes, what are we going to do? What would you do? You're going to do what? Okay. I actually had somebody come when I was a teenager. This is ridiculous, but this is what I did. And some people do this in the natural and spiritual when things are happening in their life. But I was at my mom's house. Everybody was gone. I was sitting on a couch, and there was a stairway that went up on the wall where the couch was. No one was home, just me. And someone came in the back door, went through the upstairs and went down that stairway and through the kitchen and out. While I'm sitting there, and when I heard the footsteps, instead of taking action against it, you know what I did? Froze. I couldn't do anything. I just froze solid. I was only about 16 maybe. I just froze in my place. I didn't move. Thank God he went out the door and didn't come my way. So I would have just been looking at him. But, you know, the enemy would like you to freeze up, would like you to just panic, get in fear, not move, not be aggressive toward him. But God gave us authority in this earth. And when the thief comes, know he's not just out to steal a little bit of your health. Ultimately, he would like to kill you. Put a cold on you and you just play with it and turns into double pneumonia. Am I telling the truth or not? He's rotten and he doesn't play by the rules. But God has given us authority. He's given us the name of Jesus. He's given us a place to walk in. Amen. So we've been told the thief comes. So we need to do something about it. We need to be like those when the hurricane's coming and they have warnings on it to hammer the windows shut. Right? Not, he's not going to come through these windows. You know, in South Africa, we've had some friends that they were there when it was good, and in the midst of it turning bad, they said it's just not even the same place as what it used to be. There has to be bars on all the windows, and there's fencing around the house, and there's wire, and there's glass on the top of that, so you can't climb over it. You can't go out after dark at night. It's not safe. Even in your house, fenced in like that, it's not safe. What a horrible thing. Wouldn't that be awful to live like that? But they're doing what they can to keep the thief out. Amen. Our situations, I think when we get in trouble is when we take things for granted, that things will always, anybody been feeling invisible at 20? Never going to get sick, strong, healthy, ooh, right? Been there? 30? Yeah. Conquer the world. 40, we're doing great. Well, how you doing today? What's the picture been painted for you for today? Don't let the enemy steal the picture that's been painted. God said, your youth is renewed like the eagles. Is that picture before you? Do you see renewed youth? Because if you see going downhill, if you see being decrepit, if you see just crumbling, well, 50, well, 60, well, 70, well, there's pictures the enemy wants to paint, but we need to hold up the word. He renews our youth. Amen. Let the weak say what? So are you strong? Amen. What we see, the picture that's in our heart and our mind, is unbelievably important. We need to change what we're looking at if we're looking at the wrong thing. Because those are the ways the enemy can come in and steal from you. You start looking at the wrong thing. You start focusing at the wrong thing. You're looking at defeat. You're looking at disappointment. And you start thinking it's never going to change. Your focus comes off of the Word of God. And you're off over here looking at different things. That's when the enemy has free rein to run in and steal from you. Misfocusing. What is the picture you're looking at? What are you looking at? You answer that yourself. And that can change. It can easily change. The meditation of the Word of God. Out of the things, we see it and it drops in our heart. We envision it. We focus on it. And it grows with us. Or we look at the negative and that grows. We're looking at the problem and that grows. Pastor Gary is talking about, oh, magnify the Lord, just recently. And, you know, if we look at the problem, we magnify what? If we look at the Lord, we magnify what? So what do you want magnified, enlarged, made bigger? We've got to look at the Lord. We've got to look at the Word. Amen. Because the wrong thing, the wrong focus is going to pull us out of the promise of God. Amen. God is good. So we want to look at the early warning system. Here's another one. Psalm 61, 1 through 4. Hear my cry, O God, and attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Well, some of us have been in situations like that where life gets overwhelming, things are overwhelming, there's stuff coming at us from emotions and finance and physical and relational, and it just feels like sometimes it's coming at every angle and it's overwhelming. And our heart cries out. And this is what he says. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Here's another early warning system, the leading of the Holy Ghost. God is going to lead you every step of the way that you need to go, with every decision you need to make. He's going to show you things to come. He's going to take you to the places you need to be. He's going to connect you with the people you need to connect with. There's people that carry information for you. They have an answer for you. They have an anointing to impart to you. They have a connection to put you in line with. God has amazing ways where he can get us from A to Z if we're just following him. There'll be divine connections all along the way. There'll be information all along the way. And we think, well, he's not telling me anything. He's not telling me anything. Well, if you're expecting a megaphone from heaven, he's not. That's not how God speaks. It's generally the still small voice. If you ever get a loud booming voice when you're sitting in your car, it's because you're not listening. And it's dangerous. There's a reason for that. It does happen, but it's a rarity. There's a gentle prodding with the Holy Spirit. He gently speaks. He'll continue to show you things. The same thing will come up in a conversation with a friend. And then you see something on a TV show. And then you go over here and somebody mentions it. And it's the same thing that it just seems to be coming up over. Everywhere you turn around, here's the same thing coming up. God ever deal with you like that? He does, doesn't he? It's just the way that he works within the realm that we live in, and we need to be open that we are hearing from God. Amen. We get ourselves in trouble when we come to a place, I never hear from God. I don't know what to do. And we're speaking that out of our mouth when the Word of God declares his sheep hear his voice. So is the word true? Then if it's true, then we hear him. And we got to stop speaking anything contrary to that. I was stuck in that rut for years. Oh, I never hear from God. I never hear from God. He always hears from God. I never hear from God. Well, I was expecting a megaphone in my ear. But he was gently leading, guiding, directing, imparting, speaking to every step of the way. He leads us. Amen. And we can count on that leading. We can trust in that leading. If you're not confident in it, then just start speaking it. My God leads me. The footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. I know what to do and what to say at every given situation. Because he says, if I open my mouth, he'll fill it. Amen. He'll give you the wisdom. He's not going to put you in a situation where you're dumbfounded and don't know what to do and don't know what to say. Amen. That's good news. Amen. I don't know about you, but it sure helps me to know that. So, leading. He leads me to the rock that is higher than I. Hallelujah. And thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower. Amen. A rock that you can build on. A shelter to keep you, to protect you. Just like you run into that tornado shelter. It's there to protect you, right? Well, he's our protection. He's the rock. He's the foundation. He's the high tower. We can put our confidence in him that he will protect us from our enemies. Right? He doesn't leave us out there dangling in the midst of our enemies, but we need to run unto him. In the psalm here, he cried out to him. He turned his heart towards him. He ran towards him. Amen? And it says, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Think about that. The covering of his wings. Hidden, shadowed by the Almighty. Amen. Amen. That's good news. You're fighting stuff physically, emotionally, financially, it doesn't matter what realm it's in. Whatever you're fighting, there's an enemy that is out. His job is to steal, kill, and destroy. You've been warned in the Word of God that that is what he wants to do. So you take your position against the enemy. You take your stand. You trust in the leading of the Lord. You know and get in the Word so he can reveal that to your heart. And that picture enlarges before you. Amen? That we're looking at the right thing. If you're looking at defeat and destruction, you're looking at the wrong thing. It doesn't matter what the enemy has painted. What you're looking at doesn't matter, because it can change. Your body can change. Amen. Your emotions can change. Your desires can change. Your finances can change. Amen. If you come to a place where you have no hope, then you are not looking at the Word of God, I'll tell you that. If you have drawn the conclusion there's no hope for you, there's no hope for your situation, then this is what you need to do. You need to look in this, and you need to go through it, and you need to find some promises, and you need to stand on them. You want a tattoo? Get. There's a good one there. Get that. Amen. So it's ever before you. You having a rough day? I'm victorious in Christ Jesus. Amen. I can do all things through Christ. Tattoo it right there. Amen. Whatever you need to do, postcards, post-it notes, amen. Carry it around with you, stick it in your purse, stick it in your pocket, stick it on your cell phone, pop it up every now and then. But get the word, the promises that stir you up, that give you hope. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. When you've been in a battle for a while and all you've been looking is defeat or destruction, the word's clear. It make your heart sick. So you got to stop looking at defeat and destruction. What does the word say? You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You're not on your own. I'm not a conqueror apart from Christ Jesus. Amen. But in Christ Jesus, the word declares that I'm more than a conqueror. Amen. Those are the kind of scriptures that I like. I like the all-inclusive ones. I like the ones that elevate you. He says we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, that's far above anything down here. Right? That's a great place to be. You're way above the circumstances then. Then you're getting God's perspective. You're looking down and seeing where things land. Amen. You're seeing, you can see, you can begin to see the end from the beginning. Even death, where's your sting? And with Carrie, I have hope. Hallelujah. That I see her again. Amen. There's a victory dance with that. There's sad day, but there's victory in that. It's going to be fun. And there's dreams that God gave me to see her in peace and joy, and just phenomenal how he revealed what she looks like. Boy, that does my heart good. There's even the worst. That's the worst that I can think can happen to somebody in life, is to lose a child. But even the worst of the worst, there's hope and there's victory in that. Where's your sting? Amen. We're going to see. We're going to see them in glory. Amen. I've already gotten a glimpse of it. It's going to be a grand reunion. Amen. So these other little things that we're dealing with here, hey, there's victory in everything. It's by his stripes. He paid the price and he suffered in his body for us. Before he even created man. I know I say that a lot, but it's just like overload on my brain. That before he created us, he already decided, I know what's in the heart of man. I know what they're going to do. Before they're ever created, he was the lamb slain. I'll go ahead and pay the price. I'll go ahead and give my life. Because they're not going to obey. They're going to enter into sin and break the covenant. But I know that we can reunite them again. And he gave it all. It just boggles my mind that he would have, why did he bother? I mean, it just, all that he went through and in everything he did for us, knowing the situation mankind, but paying the price anyways, giving his all so that we could be free. That we are no longer hindered by sin at all or the effects of sin. Sickness and disease are the beginning stages of death. When sin entered in, death did also. There was no sickness and disease. God created it perfect. Gave us a place in this world. Told us to tend and to keep it. What did we do? We messed up. But you want to know what tend and keep mean? In Genesis 2:15, he says he put man in the garden to tend it and to keep it. Tend means to make it a bondservant, to bring it into bondage. Everything that was in this earth when God created man in the perfect condition that was in, and he says, now you tend it. Everything was to be subject to man. Everything. There wasn't anything that was supposed to rise up against man. No lions chasing you down the street. Amen. No mosquitoes irritating you. No pain in your body. No weakness. No fatigue. Boy, that'll be fun when we get there, won't it? Have some wonderful, wonderful things. But that is what he did. He created it and he said, you tend it. You make it your bondservant. So now things switched around. Man is supposed to have everything subject to him. Man sinned, submitted to Satan. Now it's all turned around. Now Satan is ruling and reigning over man because we submitted. So Jesus says, I'll take care of that. Gave his all. Paid the price. The penalty, the wages of sin is what? Death. Separation from God. God is life. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So, hallelujah, he made the way. And he gave us our position back. He put us so that we're not under Satan. He flipped it again. Now we're to rule and reign. Therefore, you go. He gave us his name. In my name, you go. In my authority, in my stead, in my behalf. You represent Christ Jesus. You go in my name and represent me. You take the authority I have and use it. So when things come against us, we're back in the position now to cause the enemy, who is the Word of God declares he's under his feet. We're in Christ, right? Is he under your feet as well? Do some devil stomping then. I'm telling you, he's under your feet. He's subservient to you. We shouldn't be fearing him like this. He's under your feet. You have authority over him. Disease does not. You have authority over it. There's some words that make people just, oh my. Alzheimer's, cancer, different things that come up, heart disease. And people, am I right? You get fearful and you just start shaking and what are you doing? Allowing that to be elevated to a higher position than it needs to be. The position is it has been, the enemy's been defeated. Sin has been defeated. The effects of sin and sickness and disease is an effect of sin. It wasn't there before sin. When sin entered in, death did also. Sickness and disease at the beginning stages of death. So all that came in on the heels of sin. And all of it has been, we've been redeemed. We've been bought back. We're out of that position and we've been put in a new position. We're to rule and to reign. But if we don't know it, we don't recognize it, we don't feel it, we're not going to take our position and do it. It's got nothing to do with feelings. That's when you need to rule and reign. Amen. When you don't feel like it, when you're hurting in your body, when you're depressed, when you're these things are trying to take over, you're overwhelmed. This in Psalm 61, it says, I was overwhelmed and I cried out and I ran to the rock. That's where we need to go. Doesn't matter what you feel like. Run to the rock. Run to the high tower. He's your shelter. He'll protect you. He's made a way for you. But take your place with him high above the enemy. Don't cower to the enemy. He's under your feet. We have been elevated. We have been raised up together with Christ. So we need to take our position. Too many times the people in the church take a subservient position to the pastor. What do I mean by that? God has set in authority the fivefold ministry. He has called and he has placed people in positions, right? The pastor, the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, the evangelist. Fivefold ministry. He's given them grace. Each one of them have a position in the body of Christ. To do what? To train up the body of Christ to do the work of the ministry. Right? We all have something to do. But for years, decades and decades, hundreds, centuries probably, we've been looking at the pastor to do everything. Anything spiritual comes through the pastor. If I need prayer, I got to go to the pastor. If whatever, I got to go to the pastor. But God says the believers shall lay hands on the sick. The believers shall cast out devils. Oh, are you kidding me? No. That's a priest. No, that's what the Word of God says. Mark chapter 16. Amen? He's given all of us something to do. But this idea that we just sit in common fellowship and learn. No, we're all to be evangelists. We're all to carry out the gospel. We're all to speak the truth. We all represent Christ Jesus. We're all ambassadors for Christ. And we've all been equipped and we've all been given the name of Jesus. And we all need to go forth to reach the world. Whatever part of the world you touch, It might not be from a pulpit. It might be from your vegetable stand. It might be from your horse training. I mean, there's different things for each of us. It might be in the shop. It might be, who knows where your place is. It might be just at Walmart. It might be at the beach with the kids. Yay. That's a fun mission. Amen. But we have something to give. And we need to start believing we have something to give. Greater ones in us. The anointing of God is within us. And we give the devil way too much credit that he... I don't even know how to wrap words around that. We give him too much credit. He's a defeated foe. And we just need to take our position back. See, that's one of those pictures that the early warning system, if the word of God is we're really grabbing hold of it, the devil isn't some big thing. Right? I mean, the more we learn about his position, it's pretty minuscule. We just need to enforce it. If we don't enforce it, then he has free rein to run around and do whatever. And a lot of us have allowed that. And a lot of us perpetuate it by the words of our mouth. We just continue to give the enemy place. We continue to complain. We continue to backbite. We continue to just speak the wrong words. And that is fuel for him. And we wonder why everything is chaotic. We've fueled the enemy. We got to be so careful. If we're going to be judged on idle words, what do you think the negative words are going to be? We got to be careful. Because most of the time, and I've seen this in the last couple years, that certain situations came and it looked like something was going this way. And I gave voice to what it looked like. And sure enough, guess what happened? It went that way. It's almost like giving permission for garbage to happen. If I see something could go that way, who do you think is showing? Let me read a scripture here. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but shall whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak. And he will show you things to come. He's going to guide you into truth, and he's going to show you things to come. So who do you think it was that showed me this could go this way? What did we just read? The Spirit will show you things to come. So God opened my eyes to see this potentially is not a good situation. Then what should I do? Pray. Take authority over it. Bind the hand of the enemy. Whatsoever is bound on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever is loose, these are keys to the kingdom. On earth is loosed in heaven. Take authority. Another place that we've been given authority. He shows me I need to deal with that. And I need to deal with it spiritually, not naturally. I need not to talk about what could happen or what I see, but what did God say? maybe not even talk about the situation, just lift it in prayer. You don't know how to pray, then pray in other tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance. That way you're praying through the language of the Holy Ghost. You're praying perfectly His will, bypassing your intellect. If this is all we have to work with, we're in trouble. Just our little pea brain and how we can see it and how we can think it out. But the Spirit of the living God can speak through us, praying out His perfect will so that He can do that. If He's bound Himself by His word, by giving man authority in the earth, then He cannot function unless man opens the way. Why prophecies are all throughout the Word of God. God would move on the prophets and they would speak forth His will, and then He could come in and accomplish that. So we need to work together with Him. He's going to show us things to come. He's going to lead us into truth. And a lot of these things, they're so tied together. Faith and Healing School. I know sometimes you probably shake your head and think, I thought this was Healing School. You know, the more I see, the more everything is intermeshed. Everything is tied together. And it's a working together with Him. But He's given us authority. He's given us position. He's given us a place in this earth and in this life. And we can make the best of it, muddle through it, or totally throw it to the trash. And it's up to you and it's up to me what we do. But we need to change some pictures, I think. We need to change what we're looking at. If we're just looking at defeat and destruction, it's time to paint a new picture. Get in the Word. Just sit down with a notebook, find some scriptures that you want to hold up. In whatever realm it is that you're believing God for, get them settled and take your place. God's best, no less. Emily coined that several years back, and it just stuck with me. When she said it, she was believing God for some things, and she had quite a few challenges, and that just stuck. And I think we ought to keep that at the forefront and be determined. Why settle for less? If there's the best that God has for you and you settle for less than that, what a disappointment. Because God's always moving us glory to glory. He adds. He continues. He moves us up. And we don't want to settle down here if God wants us up here. We want to just keep moving in that direction. If you made choices that left you down here, just repent. Give it to God. Say, okay, God, I see it. It was a bad choice. It left me in a bad place. But God. I love those two words together. Puts a whole different picture there because it means everything can change. Everything can change. But God. Amen. But God, He can change it all. And He can do it in a heartbeat. Aren't you glad? Yay. Well, I think that's about all that I have. Well, what I said in Genesis 2:15, He put man in the garden to tend it and to keep it. And the tend meant the bondservant, to bring it into bondage, to make it submit to you. But the keep it is to guard it, protect it, and save it. So we're to put those things. Make sure there's things that do not rise up against us. We put them into bondage, but we protect and we save. those things that God's given us. We keep them. So we need to guard. We need to entrust. We need to believe for His best. You know, sometimes it's, we just need to look at it as though it's our responsibility to live this life and see the victory. Because it is. He's paid for it. He gave His all. He gave His best. He delivered it unto us. Now it's up to us to possess it. Grab hold of it and run with it. And just say, you're not stealing from me. Pain rises up in your body. Nope. Resurrection power's in this body. You can't stay there. Amen? Finances look ugly. Thank you, Lord, that you're my provider. And you can make a way where there is absolutely no way. I don't have to know how this all works out. I'm not even going to try to figure it out. I'm just going to trust you. And then you follow Him in what He leads you to do. And He leads you in finances. He'll lead you to buy stuff sometimes, sell stuff sometimes. He'll lead you to not buy stuff sometimes. It's always fun when you're in the midst of a shopping spree and you have to go put it back. But I've put stuff back and then received stuff just a few days later that I didn't have to pay for. I also remember thinking I had this hot buy. And I bought it, and we were at some friend's house 2 days after that, and they says, "Hey, we just bought this. Want to give it to you?" Guess what it was? Exactly what I just bought. It's important to be led. Amen? And I have to tell you, I know when I'm led, and I know when I push past it. Do you know when you push past God's leading? It's not fun. Sometimes you just do something, you just know. You go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and then you just decide, I'm just going to get it. You push past that. You know, that's how you learn. Not that we have to learn the wrong way first, but sometimes it just take note of those things. You're learning. You're hearing. We're growing. Amen? Don't beat yourself up. Just dust it off. You're good. Aren't you glad? He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Woo-hoo. Yay. Well, Father, we just thank you for your provision through Jesus. Jesus, you're so amazing that you would go to the far reaches that you did to lay your life down for ours and to make a way when there was no way. You are the way, and we thank you for it so that we can walk with you and talk with you and hear from you and be led by you and be filled to overflowing by your Spirit. We thank you for it. We pray, Lord God, that you would be magnified in the midst of each and every one of us, that you would be glorified. We thank you and praise you for healing for our body, freedom for our minds, freedom from guilt and shame and condemnation, that your blood covered it all. We thank you for your provision for everything we have need of in this life. We thank you for making the way. So we give you praise and honor and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We'll be blessed.